Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host, Marcia Stone, is not here today, but she gets to listen to this amazing interview when it's up and out. We have on today an amazing man, Ike Sutton. He is the CEO and founder of VapeAway. VapeAway was founded on a mission to help his son originally overcome his vaping addiction, and Ike designed VapeAway to eliminate the vaping dependency and pandemic that's going on right now. He patents some technology, and VapeAway's filter reduces potentially harmful toxins that we ingest while vaping. And he really has a personal and professional love for what he does. And we're excited to have him here today and tell us how he is rewiring many lives with his business. So Ike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Yes. I'm very excited. I'm personally a huge fan and also a consultant to VapeAway. And, I want the audience to understand, what was the inspiration behind creating VapeAway?
Well, I have six children and I got my three boys and three girls. So my middle son, about 2.5 years ago, was about 18 then, came home vaping and, trying to tell him not to do that. He shared with me the problems and he said, "Hey, Dad, it's not that there isn't a problem with it." And I said, "Do you know what you're actually vaping?" And I said, "I don't know what you're doing." He doesn't know what he's doing. And that sort of led me on the journey to understand a little bit more about vaping. And then I recognized that he was addicted to the nicotine and I figured out how to try to, get him to stop. And that sort of put me on the path.
Right. And just curious, Ike, I've known you for a little while, but I've never asked you, did you ever smoke or did you ever have any experience with addiction or dependency of any kind?
Not me. Unfortunately, my nephew passed away from overdosing about 7 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
So it was a sad situation. Yeah. Where he was just addicted to a bunch of different things. So it's a personal concern of mine, realizing that maybe my son was possibly heading on that same path. I just wanted to nip it right in the bud immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So that's the mission. And can you tell us a little bit about how and why this is such a game changer for the industry and what you've learned? I'm just to share with the audience that I think know me, but just, I'm an addiction counselor and I see just hundreds of people, a year that are addicted to vaping and in the treatment centers. I think that's probably the primary addiction, quote unquote, that you see after the drugs and the drink are taken away. So can you tell us a little bit about,
yes,
why this
sure
is needed? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm not a doctor or, a profession in any sense of the word, but I've learned a lot over the last few years. And I recognize that probably the onboarding to many more serious addictions starts with smoking or vaping. And what we've tried to create is something very unique and different. Is to try to help people quit vaping. And the concept of trying to quit vaping is the way we learned over the last couple of years is three things you need to do. The first is you need to decide you want to quit. If you don't want to quit, you're not going to. The second thing is to reduce the nicotine dependency that your body and your brain has got used to every day. And every morning, your frontal cortex of your brain wakes up and says, "Hey, Ike, where's my nicotine today?" And that's what keeps you going every day and wanting to have another hit. And the third thing that, so I would say on the second part, our filters that we've invented helps wean people off of the nicotine gradually. That process has been very successful for a lot of people that have used it so far. And we basically have a game-changing way to help people quit vaping in a manner that doesn't exist today.
Mm-hmm. I'm so exciting. I really am excited for people because I think, like you said, too, to be able to quit something while still doing it. I mean, I know, there's different theories about how we can stay abstinent, but I think it really does work to be able to kind of slowly wean someone down off something and also give them, an explanation of what to expect. I think that's even more appealing for people. This is the process. This is what we're going to do. And, and they know what to expect versus stopping something altogether. Sometimes, I think people are scared and fearful of what's going to happen,
Yeah. I think that on our last call that we had together, getting some guidance from you, I was explaining to you that we have we call it a support system. So not only just weaning off the actual nicotine addiction that you have, the oral fixation is something very, very strong that people got addicted to as well. Holding the e-cigarette in their hand, having it in their mouth, it's never leaving their hand. So that habit needs to break too. And we have a process that we help, you know, manage that through the course of their journey, sort of the 9 weeks, and deliver a great message each day, understanding what you're doing and how your life is going to be without vaping. And it's been helpful. I think doing it alone, I realized that if someone needed to try to quit vaping on their own, it's you're much more successful if you have a program or a system or a need that you could follow. Similar to, you know, as you're treating people, they're your clients, you're helping them during that journey to get them better. It's not, you know, just a one and done type of thing. So I think that's very important too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we have to give people support in other ways, you know, the mental, emotional support. And like you said, too, the oral fixation and the, you know, there's so many habits that get formed with any kind of addiction like this, you know. I was going to ask you, too, what do parents need to know about vaping for their kids? Since you were a parent and kind of found out about your son, how should they speak to them? How should they approach it? You know, what are some resources for parents if they're listening right now?
Good, good. Great question. So I found in my journey of trying to get this going and launch it to bring it to market, that there's not just millions of people vaping, there's probably twice as many people that we call them the concerned non-vapor. It's the parents of the child. It's the spouse of the vapor. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to handle the situation.
Yeah.
And it's really beyond their control.
Yeah.
It's very, very overwhelming on the other side. And no one's really addressing that group, you know, in that sort of segment of the market to say, again, what should we do? How should we handle the situation? Most people, I guess, try to put their foot down. You know, I'm not going to take it anymore. You could have to stop vaping. I'm going to take it away. Take your allowance away. I'm not going to, you know, you're going to be on your own if that's the case. So that, I think, is that tactic is not successful, because it basically, as we know, you know, to try to I guess if you're going to try to strong arm them, they think they know better and they're going to turn a deaf ear. With our product, I think the approach is now all of a sudden new. If someone would buy our product and come back and say, hey, listen to me. Let's say my son's name is Jackie. Jackie, I'm not asking you to stop vaping. Right? I know you're vaping, but if you're going to do it, try this product, which it's very similar to the experience that you're vaping, and it'll help you. If you like it, you'll continue. If you don't like it, you could stop. So now all of a sudden there's an excuse, there's a reason to restart the conversation with the person you're concerned about and bringing a potential solution that they could try during their vaping. You know, so I think it's a great angle. The angle is really fantastic.
It is a great angle. And also it starts the process of letting that person make a choice to choose their health, to, you know, try a filter, to try and wean off something, to try to reduce the levels of nicotine, whatever it is. It gives that person a choice point so that they actually could be proud of themselves, which I always know with addiction leads to the next best thing and the next thing and the next thing, you know. So we kind of have to get people to see that they're, you know, and that they have choices, and that, you know, when they choose their health, they should be proud of themselves, even if it's a choice in this direction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you've taught me a few things yourself. I mean, and again, I appreciate all your advice that it's really the journey. You cannot be alone. You need somebody to help guide you, talk you through it, and be there for you. And it's so, so important. And I think that's what we're offering versus what's the alternative. I don't know what is the alternative. And by the way, I was thinking about it. Are there a lot of addiction clinics that are helping people vaping? To me, it's not a common thing. Usually addiction, they're helping with alcohol. They're helping you with stronger drugs. It's not, oh, by the way, a guy opens up and says, come over here, we're going to only help you with the vaping. It's not their special. They don't do that. They're not addressing that problem.
Right, right. Well, it's not even that they're not addressing it. they're, and I don't know if they're, I could call it encouraging it, but they're definitely not discouraging it. You know, that's the issue I see at outpatient centers I've worked at and inpatient centers I've worked at. Even smoking cigarettes is not discussed much. You know, I mean, it's usually, well, smoking is the last thing to go. You know, I don't want to focus on my you know, smoking right now. I'll deal with that later, or I'll start vaping instead. And then they start vaping in treatment. And then that, you know, obviously becomes very addictive too. So yeah, we need to bring, I think, more awareness to this issue for sure within the treatment world. And then also just for people that are entering treatment, you know, it's kind of silly to go from one addiction to the next, you know, without some awareness around it, you know? Yeah. And since you've learned so much about vaping recently, can you tell if someone is smoking cigarettes still, how does vaping compare to cigarettes? And you know, for family members that have people still smoking cigarettes, you know, should they offer their loved one to vape instead? I mean, tell us, since you're now a pretty well-versed expert in this field, what have you learned about this?
Good. Another good point. So we believe that vaping is better than cigarettes. Cigarettes certainly kills people. It's been known for you know, tens and tens of years. There's been millions and, you know, people are dying from cigarettes because of the tar. Vaping, electronic cigarettes, doesn't have that nasty chemical, you know, called tar that gets sort of consumed, you know, combusted once the tobacco leaves us all lit up, and then all of a sudden, that's a problem. So most people that start smoking, have started smoking, started when they're a teenager. And so you and I, for a minute, I'm going to be 60 soon. I would never pick up a pack. I don't smoke. I would never pick up a pack of cigarettes and start smoking a pack a day. It wouldn't happen. So, but all of a sudden, what's happened is that the industry, people that have smoked cigarettes, millions of smokers have transitioned to vaping, thinking that it's healthier. And I believe it is a good transition. Good. We got them off cigarettes. They're vaping now. Great. The industry also, the folks that are selling e-cigarettes, have picked up another demographic. They picked up the first-time adult vapor, right? I go to the poker game with the boys, and all of a sudden, one of my friends pulls out an e-cigarette, and he's smoking it, and then, oh, you got to try it. I tried. A week later, I'm addicted, right? I would never start a cigarette. Okay, good. And then all of a sudden, they picked up a third demographic, which are the kids, because you don't see a lot of kids smoking cigarettes anymore. But you see that happening. So I think that what's happened is that e-cigarettes became sort of acceptable, that, oh, this is a cool fashion item. It started that way. And all of a sudden, they got addicted to the nicotine. On the cigarette angle that you asked me, the first question is that we think it's great to get off cigarettes with vaping. But now that you're vaping, we also know it's very dangerous, very unhealthy, a lot of cancer-causing issues there. You know, studies are still not documented with 10 years of research to say this is the real problem, is that we would love to get you off of vaping. So hypothetically, you know, in the perfect world, somebody should go from smoking to vaping with the Vaporwave filter, right? Could I ask you a question? Why do people smoke? Do you think people enjoy smoking?
I don't. I don't think people enjoy it. I think it's a habit. I think it's something people do in downtime with boredom, you know, under stress. I think that's pretty much it. I've never heard anybody say that they enjoy this, how they smell and they enjoy the taste of it. I have a client right now who's trying to quit smoking, and it's just habitual and something to do in downtime. And I've never heard anybody say that they enjoy the taste of a cigarette or that they love the way they smell. And I mean, I remember when I tried smoking as a teenager myself, I literally was repulsed, thought it was awful. I was dizzy, but again, all my friends were doing it. We were going to Grateful Dead shows. We were going up to San Francisco. You know, it was like a thing back in the early 90s, and I don't know, I just, you know, I powered through it and would smoke here and there, but it was something I never really enjoyed, you know, my own experience. Yeah. Yeah, so it's something that I don't think people you know, love to do, like drink wine. I think it's a totally different drug altogether. Yeah. But it is a drug, of course. Yeah. So the initial results from Vaporwave, can you share with us the efficacy of the filter and just some feedback from people? I know you've been in touch with people in real time that has been using the filter. Could you tell our audience a little bit about the feedback you've gotten?
Yeah, so the filter has a, you know, pretty much a very ingenious element to it. The technology built within the filter allows people to vape filtered, let's say taking out 50% of all these toxins and nicotine, and still feel very much the same. The whole experience feels very much the same. So that's incredible. And the people that are using it ask me, you know, how does that work? And I'm not so sure it's even working. But we have scientific proof and all lab tests to do that. And someone was using it for like 3 weeks. They were vaping filtered, and then they forgot a filter home. So they just had to, they were vape. They took a hit with unfiltered. And he says, wow, what a difference. They got very lightheaded, and they realized all of a sudden without vaping unfiltered that the filter was actually working, and it was working very, very well. So that was an interesting, you know, sort of feedback from them on that level. And I think that the filter slips on, it's very inconspicuous, you don't really see it. So I think, you know, it doesn't bring much attention to, you know, to the user or others. And it just has the ability to do what it's doing in a manner of, I tell people, it's almost like a faucet on the kitchen sink that you have that has a filter on it, a water filter. If you put the filter on, the water filter on, and you have a glass of water, the water tastes the same, right? Pretty much. And it comes out at the same.
Better, yeah.
And it comes out the same as far as the stream of water is coming through the same. But the actual water filter is catching toxins. So our filter acts in the same manner. We put it on, the experience, the vape, the cloud, the taste, every much is very similar. So it's that's the way it's working.
Good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fabulous. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud of this you know, company and just everything that it's doing to help people. I mean, it really is vital in terms of reducing this dependency. And, you know, like you said, it's a slippery slope when you start with one thing. So, you know, people ask me too, you know, is marijuana a gateway drug? Is vaping a gateway drug? Is this a gateway? Yeah, it's all a gateway drug. You know, like once you allow a beast to kind of be in your house, right? Something that is harmful to you, that causes you to betray yourself in a way in your health. Like all of these things, you know, I think, they kind of allow this mindset to exist that you can do these things that are harmful to yourself. And so that's where it's a slippery slope. You know, if we could kind of think of it in that way, that self-care, that's not self-care. And so if you want to be a healthy human being, you have to implement self-care habits. And this is not definitely a self-care habit. So,
right. And then quite a few people told me, by the way, then one of them, there's a few main reasons they want to quit vaping, but one of them is that they're a slave to this $10 piece of electronics, and they can't let it go. Everywhere they go, they basically have it in their hands, and that bothers them so much that I can't disconnect from it, that it's driving them wild. And they said that's one of the main reasons they want, right? Because if I can't have the self-control to put it down, and I have to be dependent on that, with my whole life. In other words, if they, you know, a lot of people have goals, they're going to exercise, they're eating better, they're trying to do things better, and then they have this little, you know, piece of electronics that's controlling their life, they're really bothered by it.
Yeah. Well, this is a game changer for sure. And could you tell everybody, is Vaporwave available? Where could they find it? Where could they learn more about this to our audience?
Yeah. At vaporwavenow.com is the website. And we, you know, there's a lot of information that's there. So we'd love for people to learn a little bit more and answer any questions they may have. And we're here to help. I think that's our goal.
Yeah. And where can people buy the filters now?
They're online available, so they could get what they need.
Okay.
And we could help them during their journey.
Okay, good. So it's out and people can start this. If they are hearing about this today, they can go order it online and that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And there's all the guidance there. That's amazing.
Correct.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Vapeawaynow.com. We're going to have it up on our site as well.
Terrific. Yeah. Erica, you're amazing also, by the way. God bless you
thank
for what you're doing and how
thank
many people you're helping. It's,
thank you.
As we said, we
can't
do it alone. And I know that's your mantra and that's who you are.
Yeah.
So, really. God bless
you.
Yeah,
no. And now we have each other and, you know, we're going to get this out there for sure and help people.
Terrific.
Yeah, it's true.
Terrific.
Thank you for being on, Ike. I really appreciate your time. And
before we
end, we do a deep dive question for our guests. And we'll just give me your first thought to this question. Ike, what is your superpower?
Superpower. I think that this last week, I've been able to mobilize a lot of people around our community and try and get about 2,000 people to escape Ukraine. You know, and working on trying to get more people. So I think my abilities to try and mobilize people and get them, you know, focused is, I think, one strength that God has given me to try to do. So.
Yeah, amazing, Ike. God bless you. That's amazing. And thank you for being on our show, and thank you to our listeners, and until next time, be well.